Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Friday?
Yeah, it's Friday. It's not Thursday.
It's not Thursday.
This is
it's
like
Friday.
What, 3 weeks in a row? Two weeks in a row?
Okay.
I don't know.
Folks, this is I'm going to accept full responsibility.
Yeah, I'm gonna let Rob accept full responsibility.
The buck stops with me.
But you have a very, very, very good reason.
The buck stops with me.
I have a baby, but you also have a baby.
I do have a baby.
And your baby is a theatrical company.
A new theater company. Yes, folks.
And you've been really working your little tuchus off.
I have a wonderful team of support, but a lot of it is like logistical stuff that only I can do.
You're the artistic director. So, you are the guy.
So it's been taking up a lot of time, folks. I am so sorry because this is the first week. We almost got to 5 years with having posted one every week. And this week we did not have a guest.
On Monday, and I saw Rob, and I don't know where we were, but I was like, Rob, who was the guest on Monday? I didn't even look, and he was like, we didn't have one. And you guys, you have to understand, usually Rob is so adamant about, he's so stressed out that we don't have
anal
in the can.
Anal is
that,
the
like,
right
yes,
word.
Like he gets like almost aggressive about it. So I was so thrown that he was kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Almost aggressive.
Yeah, you have been. You've been like, Kevin, we don't have anybody. We have to get, like 2 years ago, you would have been like, I need, because if you knew there were two in the can, you would have already been very anxious at that. But the fact that you were like, you were even sort of like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, and I even said to you, I said, Rob, you still want to do this, right? And you were like, of course I do. But then I realized you've got so much going on. You've got so much on your plate.
Now, folks, just so we're, first of all, I hope we haven't let any of you down. We have so many wonderful guests that are going to be coming down the pike pretty soon.
We are not giving up. This is not us easing our way out of this.
No.
Call it a little winter break, if you will.
You will always, and I guarantee you will always have a favorite thing every week. That is easy to do. Will it
maybe
come on
a day
Thursday?
Late.
Maybe. But you will have them nonetheless. But there's a lot of exciting things going on. I'm writing a book as well, and hopefully, you know, our listeners will purchase it. It's called 50 Key Musicals, and it's going to be published in 2021.
I aim to be a part of that book.
And Kevin is a contributor to the book. Kevin's a contributor to the book.
I think that's really, really... So can you tell us a little bit about this book, Rob?
Yeah, sure. So I think I can. The book is being published by Routledge Press, which is an academic publication over in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I hope I get a free trip to the UK.
Me too.
Which I'm very excited
about.
I
mean, I hope you do too.
Thank you. You can come too. You can be in my carry-on.
Your luggage, yeah.
And so the book is taking 50 musicals that influenced other musicals in some way, shape, or form. And then ideally, the book will be sold to college theater programs. And it's me and Peter Felicia, a co-editor.
Not a bad team.
I'm very lucky. When Peter said yes, I'd be more than happy to do this. So Peter has been a wonderful mentor in this entire process. Yeah. So that's that. So
and remind us once again. I know, and you guys, you're going to hear this for a couple of weeks, and I don't care. Your theater company.
Yes.
Tell us about it again. Tell us where to look for tickets. Tell us the shows that are happening.
Oh.
Tell us about the casting process,
yes,
if you can, because I saw there was a press release.
Yes.
It was on the cast recording email blast.
Oh, was it really?
Cast Rec, you know, you guys, any of you guys are members of that? That
got,
email,
so
what's that called?
Oh, the Cast Rec, the MAIT thing.
Yeah. The email, the listserv.
The listserv,
because I saw someone had posted it on there.
That's good.
The press release, and I was really excited about that.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. So we had auditions for all three shows last week, which was an absolutely joyous experience.
I got to play one of the days, you guys, and it was very exciting.
Kevin played brilliantly.
I got to sit in there and watch.
It was
and
so
see what
he
was going on.
He was so marvelous.
I was in the room where it happened.
Please. Yes. Please.
I just did it.
It was Lin-Manuel's birthday. Did you send anything?
I did see that. No, I didn't. I don't know him.
I sent a cake.
Oh, sure you did.
I put it in the mail and said, enjoy, Lin.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I bet you he would have sent a thank you note. He's that kind of guy. He probably gets a bad present, but still says thank you so much.
Probably.
And makes a rap about it. And looks very sincere while he's doing it.
Always.
And I appreciate that. So we had our auditions, and all three shows are cast. And we go into rehearsal for Seesaw on Monday, and we just released the cast for Seesaw.
So good.
Which I'm very excited about, because Seesaw originally had 26 people in it, and we only have 9.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a little bit of a reduction, but our brilliant music director, Grant Strom, has done a really great job at making the reductions, I think, sound fabulous.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, Seesaw's going to come back, folks.
Coming back to New York.
Has it been here?
Seesaw.
Kevin knows the whole score.
City, my city. I mean, come on. That's a great score.
Yeah, it is.
Come on. Listeners, yeah, you guys know Seesaw. What is it, 1973, 74?
1973.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dorothy Fields, the great lyricist.
Last show she ever wrote.
I know. I mean.
The great Dorothy Fields, one of my absolute
vodka
favorites.
Vodka in one hand and a pencil in another.
Yes. Leroy used to tell stories about her falling under the table and stuff.
But she could drink anybody under the table.
And I love that.
What a legend.
And Cy Coleman, great Cy Coleman score.
My goodness.
And a book by, it's credited to Michael Bennett. It's really Neil Simon.
Right. And that's because famously the show had major, major troubles out of town, which listeners, if you guys have listened to our interviews with various people other than Leroy, but we've heard stories about this from many people.
Right? Yeah. So if you the original story, if you remember, they decided to take the play two for the Seesaw, which was just a two-hander with Henry Fonda and Anne Bancroft. And there's a movie version of it with Robert Mitchum and Shirley MacLaine. Mm. Robert Mitchum looking uncomfortable as always. I don't know why. He always looked uncomfortable in a lot of his films, not all of his films. Films, but he always looked like he was a big stoner, so I think maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah,
smoke the reefer.
Yeah,
his eyes would squint up. Yeah, he's feeling really good. And then they took it. They decided to make a musical out of it. But as you know, like Ed Sheeran was gonna. Ed Sheeran. Is that his name? I think that's his name.
Yes.
No, who's the producer? Singer? Who's the singer?
Ed Sheeran is the
Ed
singer.
Sheeran.
That's definitely not who we're talking about.
Ed Sheeran, who I think directed a bunch of Law and Orders. He had directed a play, The Great White Hope, and they're like, "Oh, you did a drama. Now you can do a musical.
Yeah, you'd be great at what? That happened a lot. I feel like in the 60s, 70s.
And it was Coleman and Fields and Michael Stewart from Hello Dolly. To write the book, and then it went up to Detroit, and Lainey Kazan got fired.
She was the
famously,
famously,
and Ed Sheeran got fired, and a bunch of other people got fired when they brought Michael Bennett in. He said
Leroy
was supposed to.
He wasn't even hired.
So they when they fired Ed Sheeran, they brought Michael Bennett in, and Michael Bennett said, "The only way this will work is if you let me do exactly what I want, and nobody questions me."
And that's showbiz.
And they said absolutely
right.
And so they fired Ed Sheeran.
He hadn't
even
done the Chorus Line yet. I mean,
nope. And Michael Stewart, I think, just left.
Yeah.
And so they brought in Neil Simon, and Neil Simon was like, "I'll do it, but I don't feel comfortable taking the credit for it because he and Michael Stewart were friends." So they were like, "Well, we need to put somebody's name under book." And so they're like, "It's Neil Simon's book, but whose name are we going to use?" Cy Coleman was like, "Ask Dorothy Fields," because she used to write books to musicals.
Yeah.
She's like, "I don't feel comfortable with this." And like, "We need a name." And Michael Bennett was like, "Fine, just put my name on it."
No, he was probably like, guys.
Hello.
Like, not fine. He was probably like, me.
5, 6, 7, 8, me. So anyway, yeah.
So that's how his name got attached to the book. But really, he was just there and he fixed the, well, quote unquote, fixed the show.
But you read that script and it reads like a Neil Simon comedy. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, ba-da-ba-bum.
Yeah. One liner,
funny one liner.
It's such a New York show.
Oh, and
too.
It's such a funny book. It's such a funny book. It makes me so, so happy.
I'm so excited.
Yes, I'm excited. So, anyway, so it's going to be, we open February 13th. We play 8 performances. Following that will be No Strings.
You're directing this or someone else is?
I'm directing Seesaw.
And
then No Strings is Deidre Goodwin, who you might remember from the documentary Every Little Step, where she played Sheila.
I love Dee.
And also from the Chicago movie, she's one of the six Mary murderers. He ran into my knife 10 times. That's her. And then A Class Act will be the last show, and that's me as well. And so you can get tickets at www.j2spotlightnyc.com.
j2spotlightnyc.com.
Or you can go on to Playbill and take a look at a wonderful press release. If you want to buy season tickets, we're offering a wonderful package, $124 for all three shows. For $124, you get a ticket to all three shows.
Do that.
If you want to buy individually, you can go on to ticketmaster.com.
And it runs for a weekend?
Two weekends,
great. And it will be running on 42nd Street?
42nd Street and 9th Avenue.
Love
at Theater
it.
Row.
Great.
Theater 2 and Theater Row,
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so we're excited. Thanks so much.
Excited.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit busy, but thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks, pal. So we apologize for not having interviews, but we will definitely have more coming
there
up.
There are
soon.
So many people who, and also there's so many people we want to interview that are like, yes, and then they just try to figure out a time slot. Like, we've been trying to get Mark Shaman and Scott Whitman for all the, right, Mark Shaman? Yeah, Mark Shaman and Scott Whitman. The longest time we've been trying.
You know, Hairspray people and Catch Me If You Can. And we're going to go to their house, but it's logistics.
Cheetah Rivera.
And
also,
these people that, you know, as you can imagine, they're busy people as well. So it's just getting all the schedules to
match up,
sync, and make sure everyone, and the holidays, everyone's
but
away
back,
doing
but
stuff.
But go back and listen to some of the ones you haven't listened to
please.
Before, because that'll make us feel happy. Also, a big shout out. I want to thank one of our podcast listeners, Lawrence Spinelli, who gave...
La- Larry, yes.
Larry, yes, who gave you a beautiful record collection.
Oh, my God. I get, he's, Larry, thank you. He's so wonderful. And yes.
I received a gift from Larry this past weekend. A package arrived at my house, and I posted it on my Instagram. Maybe you've seen it. It's a beautiful 8x10 photograph of Ethel Merman and Mary Martin in concert together with their autographs on separate autograph cards. And it's this beautiful framed piece of work. And Larry sent that and said, thank you so much. Larry, I cannot tell you how much that means to me that you sent that over. And I know the record collection means a lot to you, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. He and his wife came up and to my house, and we hung out a little bit and got to chat. And it was really nice.
Yeah, so that was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, we love hearing from you listeners, and we love gifts as well.
The gifts really help. Just let me know when they're coming.
You got that theater book that you don't know what to do with? Well, I know what you can do with it, and his name is Rob Schneider.
No, send it to Kevin. Kevin needs it. You can give it to the young child.
That's right. When Crawford learns how to read, I will say, chapter one.
Somebody asked me, and I was like, I'm going to let Kevin answer about this. You know, your child.
Yes.
Is named Crawford.
That's right.
After your wife's maiden name.
Her yes, that's correct. Her last name.
And not star of the Phantom of the Opera.
That is not Michael Crawford.
So you could
say that, but no, he's definitely not named after Michael Crawford.
I just wanted that to be cleared up.
Now, if he was named after Michael Crawford, I would say he would be Michael Crawford from Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum movie, Michael Crawford, not Dance of the Vampires, Michael Crawford, because the stories about Dance of the Vampires, Michael Crawford, is not the Crawford that I want.
Oh,
my
I thought
son
you were
going to
say the Woman in White where he came out. Remember we were that
woman
big
in
fat
white.
Suit.
Oh my God,
would they call him Fausto or something?
Completely forgot about that because I remember I think of Michael Ball in it because he did it originally up in London. But you're right, didn't
Michael Crawford do?
Didn't he?
I think so.
Because Michael Ball did it when I saw it.
Oh, I know Michael Crawford did it at one point. So,
but I heard when he did Dance of the Vampires, that famous flop of a show on Broadway. He had a little too much say with what got to go on with it. Because I know a lot of people who were in it, and it was fun. But I was truly a time at going to the theater, and everyone in the audience was there to witness this wild spectacle, and we were entertained by its lack of polish.
Look at you. What a nice way of saying it was a bad show.
Oh, God, it was hysterically bad.
That's good.
Amazing.
That's good.
Well, almost maybe up there with In My Life, but not quite there. Because that was a self-funded piece.
Yes.
And the vanity projects are always the best ones because no one's there to say no to the person who has the money. So then just everything gets done. And if you want a lemon coming out of the rafters, then by God, you'll have a lemon.
You're talking about me specifically?
If you want the guy to have Tourette syndrome and sing about it, by God, we will do it.
Yes, ain't that the
number?
Oh, it's In My Life, folks. Look it up.
Okay. Favorite things?
Who wants to go first?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
First.
I feel like you're very excited, so do you want to go last or do you want to go first?
Oh, no, I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first. So, folks, if you are a musical theater aficionado, you need these books on your shelf. We have not talked about these books before, and I have a feeling, I'm going to warn you right now, they are expensive. They are expensive books to own, but they are absolutely worth it. There is an author by the name of Dan Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z. Once again, his name is Dan Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z. And Dan has written a wonderful, fabulous book about each decade of musical theater. And they're called The Complete Book of 19 Blank Broadway Musicals. So there's 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't know if there's a 2000s yet.
I've never...
I think there is.
heard of this.
Oh, there is a 2000s. I know there is. Yes. So his name is Dan Dietz. I'm showing him right now. So on Kindle, it's $114.
Oh my God.
The hardcover is $136, but folks, it is absolutely worth it.
Why are they so expensive?
I don't know, but let me tell you this. They're worth it. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, if you need to make a big investment and you're a musical theater history buff, here you go. So each entry, because he does every single show that opened in that decade that's a musical, he covers the plot summary, cast members. He tells you all the creative personnel, the dates, the performances, the plot summary, critical commentary, musical numbers and the names of the performers who introduced the songs, production data, including information about tryouts, source material, details about London production. And at the end, there's a bunch of appendixes, which are absolutely fantastic because they include They include other things that aren't Broadway related, like reviews, plays with music, shows that were supposed to come to Broadway that closed out of town, sometimes off-Broadway things. And every appendix includes a discography, filmography, a list of the published scripts, and a list of like themed musicals that came out in that decade, like black-themed musicals, Jewish-themed musicals, gay-themed musicals. It is really a fantastic, fantastic resource. And like I said, it's the 1920s one is like 650 pages. They're all published by Roman and Littlefield, but you can get them on Amazon. I have a whole bunch of them.
Oh my gosh! And even on eBay.
How much are they on eBay?
You're rocking my world right now because it's rare. I feel this is why I love doing this podcast with you because all these years that I've never ever even heard of that book series or this writer, and I don't even recognize them, Rob.
And yet
on eBay, oh my gosh, the 1940s is $158. The 1950s is $143. The 1920s, $193, Rob.
Yeah, but it's kind of worth it, folks. It's absolutely kind of worth it. So anyway,
I want to go to the library right now.
So he goes, like I said, he goes season by season, and he also in later ones he talks about like Radio City Music Hall presentations, where you can buy published scripts, what scripts were actually published from the year, theaters that were in operation, and like what like in the 1990s, the Belasco Theater had only a couple of shows, A Little More Magic and Mandy Patinkin in Concert. Who knew from the 1990s? So anyway, it's a really fantastic book. I encourage everyone to go and start purchasing them. I have mine on Kindle. And they're fabulous. And I got them for $114 on Kindle. So that's $114 each, folks. But if you're looking for something this year, go ahead, grab this for yourself.
I'm picking my jaw up off the floor. Yeah. I'm just...
So Dan, I don't know if Dan listens to us, but Dan Dietz, Dietz, if you would like to be on this show...
Come on.
And, you know, give us a free couple of books. We'd love that.
That's totally fine as well.
And hit us up. So anyway, it's a really, really fantastic resource. Now, some people like might go, like, why can't I can find this on the internet. You really can't. Because there's musicals.
I just spent the entire while you were talking trying to find them for cheap, and it's
there are some musicals in here that I was like, "What the? I've never heard of this."
He did his research.
Yeah. So anyway, so folks, once again, Dan Dietz, Dietz, and it's just called The Complete Book of 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever Broadway musicals.
And I really give it up to these writers like Gerald Boardman and Steve Susskind and the ones that we know about. I never even knew about Dan. But the research that they have to do in order to make these books, I commend
I don't know
and
how they
thank
do
them because they are, that is they are that's exactly the kind of information that I love to consume. But I'll be definitely on the lookout for those.
Yeah, tell me if you find them for cheap. I mean, obviously, like I've paid the full price for it because I'm just like, you know, I want them.
I love going to flea markets and I love going to that route. And I wonder if I'll ever be able to find any, you know, there. But I've never even seen the covers before, and I'm just amazed. So thank you so much for bringing that. That's
so I was excited by that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I have one that everyone knows, but I just think it's worth a revisit. It's a show.
It's not The Visit, is it?
It's not The Visit, but I did see The Visit before it came to Broadway. I saw the Chicago production with Cheetah, with George Hearn and Cheetah back then.
Can I tell you a quick Visit story?
Yeah.
And then we can move on. When I went to go see The Visit, I got student rush, and we were put all the way up in the balcony. Mm-hmm. And so the usher was like, you can sit here. He's like, if you want to see more of the stage, you can move to center. But I've seen this show a bunch now, and trust me, you don't want to move to center. It was this old usher at the Belasco Theater. I was like, oh.
That's a lifer.
I was like, he's like, trust me, you don't want to see more
just
of this
show. Just
there
where you are, kid. You're good.
Take a
nap.
That's
funny.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
No, good. So mine's a show that was done off-Broadway. It was a big smash hit, much like many off-Broadway shows. It was that were hits. It was from the 60s. A lot of shows were hits in the 60s and 70s. And this is not an unknown show. I mean, you are definitely are aware of it. It was done on Broadway, after off-Broadway. Not as successful. It was one of those shows that tried to make a transfer and make that impact, but it wasn't. And then it was revived on Broadway in the 90s, and then it became more solidified in its presence in American. So it is.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
It certainly is.
What a good choice.
You know, it popped up the other day on my Spotify, and I forgot how much I loved the show.
I thought you were going to say Snoopy, but no, you're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Snoopy's good. Talk about previous guest, yeah. Larry Grossman. But You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown is a show that was written by Clark Gessner. It says in the credits that it's written by Clark Gessner, who did the book and lyrics, he did the music and lyrics. And then it's supposedly a person named John Gordon did the book. Well, John Gordon is actually a pseudonym to capture all of the cast members that were involved in putting together the original off-Broadway production. So really, it's Clark Gessner and friends that put the book together. The book is really, it's not a capital B, because it's more vignettes that are thrown together in the original production. In the revival in the 90s, Michael Mayer, who was the director, added some dialogue sequences to it. But really, it's just vignettes that are lifted from Charles Schulz's Peanuts cartoon, which was with us for so many years, which, I mean, we all know these characters so well. And the show originally opened off-Broadway in 1967. It ran till 71, so we're talking over 1,500 performances. The choreography was by previous guest
Patricia Birch.
But when we asked her about it, Rob, what did she say? Hey, Patricia, what was Your Good Man Charlie Brown like? That must have been exciting working on an off-Broadway show. How was it?
Fine.
But surely you must remember some of the stories from that rehearsal process.
Huh? No.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so you don't
and
have
now
to...
Now we're going
to
shut it off, Pat. Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you about the time I did blah, blah, and then... Okay, great.
There
now,
it is. So,
now she's
so
ready to
I would
talk,
say
folks.
Go back and listen to the interview, but I don't think you're going to hear her say much about Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. You might hear her talk about Grease, too. So in 1967, they did. 1971, they tried to move it to Broadway. It lasted, like 32 performances. So it was one of those situations that it was at the Golden Theater, so it wasn't at a big theater. But I think that it just couldn't capture like a big stage like that. It was more of a nice smaller show. Now, the show was done off-Broadway, and much like the Fantastics, it then was done everywhere.
Everywhere.
In fact, Clark Gessner, you know, he made his whole life living off of this one show. I mean, because he did the book and lyrics, and he must have had a good deal, and he got the money from the rights. And he wrote a couple other shows and some other reviews. There was one cast album of Utter Glory of Morrissey Hall that was a show that is forgotten that was played Broadway. I think it opened and closed the same night.
Why don't you look at the complete book of 1980s musicals?
Well, if I had $5,000, Rob, I'd be able to. Or I'll just borrow your Kindle. He wrote this great little charming little sweet little show that just happened to get so popular. And a lot of it was like people could relate to these characters. And yes, there were adult actors clearly playing these children, and yet they weren't putting on baby voices. They were treating them real. And I think that audiences could still connect to a lot of these vignettes. It felt like home because you know these characters so well. I grew up watching all the cartoons. I love them. So when it came back to Broadway in 1998, after a little tour, it really resonated, I think, with some people. It didn't last. It only lasted like 6 months on Broadway, but it gave us... Kristen Chenoweth, her first big sort of breakout role, I would say. And it really gave her a Tony Award, and Roger Bart as well, who played Snoopy.
And although not written by Mr. Gessner, things like My New Philosophy.
Well, then we had Andrew Lippa come on board. They had Andrew Lippa join, and he contributed a couple songs, Beethoven Day. He gave us a little more of the title number, Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. And I would listen to the opening number, friends, and part of that is Clark Gessner, but when they go into the hipper, more cool part of the song, it really is seamless. And it is quite impressive the way that Lippa was able to write in the voice of Clark Gessner, but yet a contemporary version of that. Fantastic. My New Philosophy, what is there to say? I mean, like, it is Kristen. It is her. It is so. It was one of the first shows that I ever seen on Broadway. I saw Miss Saigon in 96 or 95. I saw Funny Thing Happened to the Forum, and this was like the third show I saw when I went to New York. And it was the week after she won the Tony Awards. So it was the audience stopped, the show stopped, and she just kept taking the applause, and it was awesome. And My New Philosophy, go watch the YouTube clip of her singing My New Philosophy. It is. perfection. I mean, there's a reason why Kristen Chenoweth became the star that she is, and that really leapt off. And she got the Tony Award for it, and it made sense. It wasn't just her playing this sort of character. I mean, it's her playing this character, but, like, she's acting. I mean, she's definitely giving you beats, and it's a really... and she's making this little two-dimensional character come to life.
Yeah,
and
she's
quite fun.
She's so brilliant.
So, my little thing this week is You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. You could listen to the original off-Broadway recording, or listen to the Andrew Lipa one with the new songs and the orchestrations that are just, because the original only had like piano, bass, drums, I think, but the new one had a fuller orchestration, a lot more sound to it, and it's really fun. And I just want to give a little respect to Clark Gessner, who made quite a career out of one show, get it. I would like to have that one show, and then I can just hang out at the Princeton Club all day, or that's what he used to do, is hang out at the Ivy League Club.
I thought
that was
the goal of this podcast.
Right? Just us get rich off of this podcast?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Yeah, we're doing okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
I bought a cup of coffee today, which is good.
Hey, but we should thank our Patreon supporters, because is how we have all these microphones. That is how we are able to record and go to studios.
We can pay editors and social media. It's great. Thank you.
I almost made a joke about parking, but I'm not going to.
What? Oh, only one guest has ever asked to be paid for their participation in this interview. out of 200 guests, only one person has ever been asked to pay for parking. And I will let you guess on who that person is. We will not reveal it unless you email us.
I love it.
unless you give on Patreon, we won't tell you.
Yeah, right. There it is.
Whoever donates on Patreon next, just send us a message and say, who was it? And we'll be
Or if you do, we'll let you know.
We'll be more than happy to tell you who.
Because you are, thank you.
Who she was.
Because that's how we were able to.
Then I gave her the money for parking, and I saw her buy a Subway sandwich with it.
You stop it.
I swear to you, she bought a Meatball Hero. That's a true story.
That's good.
That's a true story. I was there.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so that's it. And also, hey, I want to mention something really cool. So because Kevin and I teach together, which is really, really nice, one of our students is actually here with us today as we're doing the podcast. She's an avid listener. Savannah, where are you from, Savannah?
I am from Lanark in Scotland.
She is from Scotland.
Scotland.
Okay, well, now you've offended her, Kevin.
I know. She likes
it,
though.
But she's from Scotland.
Thank you, Savannah.
And before she came in today, she was like, she showed me, I don't know if she showed you.
Yep.
She has a folder that lists
on her phone
anything that we mentioned on the podcast that she doesn't know, so she can go and look it up later. So I feel like we're doing an academic duty, so which just makes me very, very happy. I'm so happy you swung by today.
And I do the same thing. I mean, I was like, yeah, I totally get that. All the things that you say, Rob, I always write them down and and have a list of things to look at on YouTube or what have you.
Anytime you mention anything straight, I make a list too. So I have football.
Yeah.
I have
golf.
Beer. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And golf.
Yeah.
And woman. I don't know what that one is, but I'm very excited.
Let's go.
I'm gonna Google it later.
That's my boy.
Thanks. So that's that. I on Monday, I kind of have a feeling you probably just want to listen to one of our old episodes.
Yeah.
We will give us
2 weeks. We're going to take a little hiatus just so that we can get some interviews in the can and really get going and really go strong with this new season.
Because yes.
We're really, really excited to have...
We are.
We're getting better, not better, we're getting harder to get guests, and it's really exciting to share some of these stories.
Yes. And so thank you so much for bearing with us. We appreciate your patience as we do all of this. And you will have episodes of guests soon enough. Just thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time.
Yes, indeed.
All right, till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway, Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.